hurt me too. Thanks. Alright, let's not give too many spoilers here. It's too late, Donald's not. Good morning. Corey asked if I could share on some home dynamics. So I'm going to do that. There's so much. I've been a dad. Peter, I'm really good to see you. I've been a dad for a long time, as old as Peter. I've been married for almost 30 years. You make a lot of mistakes, and you, some successes too. So these will be, I think what Corey was asking for was just some wisdom from the ages. Okay, if I had gray hair or hair at all, it'd be great. I'm not going to be connecting everything to a Bible verse. There are some anchors as we go through it, but a lot of it is just, my goal is to mainly help the younger, but that's not saying much because I'm older, but the younger families, but really any families. I'm speaking mainly to the men today. Some things that I've learned, some things I'm still learning. Heather's been on the journey the whole time with me. She knows that some of these things we're going to go through are things that I have not yet learned completely. My kids can attest to that as well. So I don't expect to take the whole half hour, actually. I might be done and have some time for comments, so I welcome that. Would like to open with a couple verses in Proverbs 24. Just give a little anchor here. Through wisdom, Proverbs 24, 3 and 4. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Through wisdom is a house builded, by understanding, it is established. What do we see in that verse? Wisdom as opposed to foolishness. Okay? A house is not built through foolishness. And through understanding, it's established. How is it not established? I think it's not established through passivity, through just a lack of planning, through just kind of this floating through life. A house is established with understanding. Okay? By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I see in these verses just some intentionality. Some, you're in the Word, you're gaining wisdom from the Lord, through His Spirit, from people that are older than you, have walked before you. We see that pattern in the Scripture with older women teaching the younger women. There's definitely a pattern that's breaking down today with gaining wisdom from the older generations. I'm grateful that my sons are friends with my friends. That really makes me happy. It always has. Peter's always been that way. He's always tried to connect with my generation. I think that's a great thing. So intentionality. But those are a couple verses. I'm going to go through two basic things today, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, like I said, but these are things that are, I think, can really help us husbands and fathers to navigate. The two basic things are, first one, I'm going to talk about just a couple points under recognizing that you are the leader. We take it for granted, we hear it preached on, but we need to talk about the fact that, men, God has given you this position of leadership. You need to step into that. You need to accept it. Okay, so we'll touch on that a little bit. And the second one is, I want to talk about the fact that leading and shepherding a home takes time. It's not going to run on its own. So let's get into it. Men, you are the leader. Okay, next point. No, this is not taking it for granted. Okay, there are a lot of pressures in marriage. A lot of us, including myself, have women that have a lot of opinions. Okay, my wife is very opinionated. And that's been something, and I'm more of a peacemaker kind of person. So this has been something I've had to deal with. Does the fact that my wife has more opinions and in some areas more discernment than me, does that make mean that I can abdicate my role as leader of a home. No, it doesn't. I'm the leader. We need to accept our role, okay? Maybe this is something you think you've done and you haven't. Have you really accepted it as from the Lord? We know a couple verses here. 11:3 is the one that the Christ is the head of the man the head of the woman. That is a God-given structure. We know that. But how does it affect us, men? Do you accept your position as ordained of the Lord? You stepped into it, you've chosen it, God has put the structure in place. What kind of things should that bring about in your heart? Well, one of the things I think it can bring about in your home, and we'll talk about this a little bit later, if this is really from God, stepping into it means you don't have to be nervous and just a wreck all the time wondering what your family's going to think of you. Okay? You're in this role to provide leadership to your home. You don't have to get so cranky and upset and offendable all the time and touchy. Okay, this is something I've dealt with. I get, well, what do they think of my leadership? Well, you need to listen and be careful to those around you. You're not stomping on them too bad, but the fact is, God's giving you this role. Accept it. Think about the fact, meditate on the scriptures that have to do with husbands and fathers. This is the role that you've been given. Oh, Ephesians 5:22. I don't want to read the whole section, but let me turn there and get the key verse there. It's the mirror verse, or not the mirror verse, but a parallel verse to 11:3. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The husband isn't the head of the wife only when he deserves it, or only when he's in a good mood, or she's in a good mood. This is the fact. You are the head of the wife. So this can help us navigate through those tense situations. Just say, okay, it's on me to lead the family here. You need to accept that role. It's not up to you to give it to your wife. You need to accept it, step into it. You can admit, it's fine to admit to your family. It's good to admit to your family, I'm struggling right now, this is a little hard for me to deal with, but I do accept it. And I want you to know, family, that I do, in spite of my failures and my insecurities, I am the leader and I'm going to do my best. That's okay to say that. But to abdicate it to somebody who has more discernment in the home, that's not okay. So that's what I mean by accept it, okay? Acknowledge it. Set a calm, cheerful tone in the home. This goes along with what I said. If you are constantly on the defensive because you feel like you're making bad decisions or whatever, this is going to cause an anxiety in the home. And I've definitely done this. I feel like, okay, my wife doesn't agree with me on this decision I'm making. Okay, so then I start to get touchy. That's not calm leadership. Your cheerfulness too. When you're making a decision that you feel before God is the right one, you can smile. And that is actually contagious in the home. When you are grumpy because you're worried about what people are going to think and your kids and all that, that also sets a negative tone in the home. So if you're walking in the light and you love your family, smile. Be cheerful. This is a privilege to be in this role. But this particular point is more that you're setting the tone of the home, that you are showing your family that you want to be in this role and you love them and you accept the role, as we said earlier. Delegate, don't abdicate. Okay, so we're talking about leadership here. What leadership doesn't mean is that you have to do everything around the house. In fact, that would be poor leadership. We were recently on a cruise, my wife and I, a couple months ago. There were like 4,000 people on this ship. 1,000 of those were crew. I happened to meet the captain through a circumstance, and he was just a guy like me. He had delegated many of the responsibilities, by far most, 1,000 people under him. He had delegated those things to the rest of the crew. Can you imagine what the ship would have happened to that ship in the experience of all the customers if he had not delegated? It would have been a complete disaster and failure. The ship probably would have sank, to be honest. One guy trying to run that entire engine room and all that, it would have been a disaster. Okay, sink is a, yeah, I'm breaking up a point here. Okay, so he needed to delegate. We're told in Genesis that God made, he saw the man as not good for him to be alone. He made him a help. He definitely needed help, okay? But that's different. Delegation, okay, is empowering someone else under your authority to do a task. And there is some decision-making power that goes with that. If you delegate the running the household to your wife, it's appropriate to tell her, I trust you. Why are you coming to me with every little decision? I trust you with that. That's a very healthy thing, okay? Now, if it comes down to it and the house is burning, you get the family out of there. That's on you to do that. But those kind of responsibilities allow you, free you up to do what the captain of the ship did. Provide direction, okay? Abdication, and this can happen with a guy that, like all of us, want to be passive. We want to be lazy, okay? It's easy for us men to just take a back seat. That's the easy route. Especially our women are more sensitive. They have the daily kind of feeling of what how people are doing and all that. They can express their opinions strongly. But my wife certainly can. And that can be easy for us to say, because of that desire to make peace, and that maybe we're shaky in our acceptance of our role, it's easy for us to abdicate, which is different than delegating. Abdication, in my understanding, is actually allowing someone else to direct the ship, direct the home. That's abdication. That is not healthy. You are the head of the home. The head sees, turns, the captain of the ship. To flip the analogy around, if he had not run the ship, again, you'd have a major problem with that ship. And the same thing in the home. God has given you, if I can say, anointed you, your role to direct the home. It's important that you step into that. And don't abdicate it. The last thing is, as a leader, again, this goes along with the tone of your leadership. If you really believe that God's given you this role, and you're in the Word, my assumption through all this is that you want to have a godly home. Okay, I don't want to have to disclaim all the way through this one. You know, of course you want to have a godly home. I assume that's true for all of us. One of the things about leadership, James 3:1 says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that you'll receive the greater condemnation. When you are in any position of leadership, those of you who have been in a business or whatever, you're going to have external pressures. You're going to have people disagreeing with you and telling you your failures in front of other people. It can be really drag you down. It can be a tough thing. It's good to acknowledge in your heart, again, internally, that those things are part of leadership. Okay, what that lets us do is when those things happen, we don't get all offended again, right? It's so easy, for me at least, speak to the rest of you, for me at least, it's so easy to get offended and kind of touchy, you know, because someone doesn't agree with me. That's not good, okay? When you go into a situation, I'm not saying your family should be a battle zone, okay, but leadership in a battle, for example, you're expecting resistance, you're prepared for it. Now, in a family, you are providing guidance, shepherding along the way, but still you are turning something that would want to go one way, you are trying to provide pressure to turn it another way, and that's where the wisdom comes in. How do you turn something from going one direction and have it go another direction? You're going to have resistance, just like the water on a ship, okay? So expect it, embrace it, get ready to shepherd it, love the people by providing that in a way that is godly. Jesus came, and he had the ultimate amount of resistance. He came to his own, and his own received him not. I mean, how ugly is that? But still, he led and is our shepherd today, our chief shepherd. So those are my points, and I welcome your input on this. I'll try to sit down before 12. Welcome your input and feedback on any of this. But these are some basic things I have learned or am learning as a leader, and the main idea here is you are the leader, accept it, and handle it with grace. Okay, the next, second point of the two, this is the last point. Leadership takes time. I think we assume that. It just seems like something that's so obvious. But we constantly make decisions, and I'll give a little illustration at the end. We constantly make decisions, I think, through our life that are, I don't know if you've heard of a little booklet, Tyranny of the Urgent. We're always being like yelled at and screamed at and pulled in different directions, and next thing you know, the day's gone. Next thing you know, the week and the month. Next thing you know, your kids are grown up. Where did it all go? So this is back to the scriptures we read at the beginning. The house is built through understanding, through intentionality. And the second thing out of a thousand we could talk about today, I'm sure, the second thing that I want to communicate is that leadership, it takes time. We'll look at some practical things that challenge our time. And I hope we can take some of this home and make some changes if needed. The first thing that takes time is to know your wife. Are you providing, as a man, the time to hear your wife, I guess? And this is an area I don't always succeed in very well. But back to the tone thing, if you're making, you know, you've made decisions as a man, I'm sure all of us have, that our wife doesn't agree with. That can make it difficult to go to her and initiate and say, let's talk about how we're really doing. I mean, that's not fun, because what you're doing is you're opening yourself up wide to the criticism. Okay? I didn't put this, I have some sub-points under all these. I didn't put them all up there, but the one I put here is along the lines of resistance. Embrace your wife's criticism without feeling threatened. She is your helper in more than just cooking. Okay? She provides all sorts of feedback. You know, we're half a torn sheet of paper and she's the other. The whole goal of her is to complete us and make us a unit to move us forward. She is, go into a discussion with your wife expecting criticism. Expect it. That way you're not like, oh, you always love me, like I've done many times. Expect it, see it as, her motives are probably really pure actually. She really does care for the family. It's really important that you at least hear it. Now, you don't abdicate your role by hearing those things, but you certainly can take input. The captain of the ship has all sorts of inputs. We've got this problem, we've got that problem, the other thing. Okay, he might adjust his course based on that input. But you got to have the input. So allow for the input. This, for us, means a weekly date. That, yes, is crowded with lots of other errands and all that, and squeezed into a 45-minute meal, but at least Heather knows that she's a priority because I make time every week on the schedule for a date. It's a challenge with younger kids, I know, but try to make some sort of time where your wife every week for an hour or two knows that she has your ear so she can look forward to it. She can have a little note full of criticism to try to unload on you in the car on the way to the rest, you know, but you need to, if she doesn't unload it to you, who is she going to unload it to? Do you really want that to build up for years without being able to hear it? And next thing you know, you've got a nuclear bomb going off. Let that pressure, give her the love and the privilege of unloading that frequently. You're much better off, this is experience speaking here, you're much better off releasing that pressure every week or so than having it build up and you've got marriage tensions that can fatal is a strong word, but I guess it could be. It could be fatal. Know your wife. Know your kids. Same concept here. You are given husbands. I think, well, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, Ephesians 3, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture there is the same as in the previous chapter where it says, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it. You know, that nourishing that we care for ourselves, and he's making a point there with the marriage, he brings into Ephesians 6 there and says, bring them up in the nourishment and the admonition of the Lord, okay? But that takes time, okay? Isaac's at an age now where he's getting ready to leave home and guide his own home. It's on me here to make that last push successful. You know, I have to give him that final guidance and then release him out there. But the point is, I got to understand where he's at. He's starting to formulate his own visions and his own desires. It's on me to understand and hear that and then provide my wisdom and experience to guide him. Okay? Start that very young. Get to know your kids real young, the way we do it. This hasn't been as consistent, but we do daddy dates. And Heather sometimes does mommy dates. Currently, to play some catch up, because I've been falling behind, every week, I take one of the kids out, we go, there's Isaac Kokel, Asher, Isaac Kokel. We just rotate through them. We take them out. We go out to eat. We talk a little bit in the car at the restaurant. And we do one thing they want to do. We go to the candy shop. Isaac likes to go to Shields. We just do something together. But you're tying strings there that now, like Peter, he and I can talk. He's gone, but we have a relationship. We don't agree on everything, but that's fine. I don't want to agree with him on everything, but I want to have the kind of relationship where he and I can communicate going forward. Build that from very young. My point is it's going to take time. You've got to allow time for that. Do you see your family as that important? You know, it's real easy to, okay, have family, I want to get married, great, okay, now I'm going to spend all my time supporting him. Okay. That's not shepherding. Okay. All right. The last point, and this has got a few points under it, and then I'll be done. Things that can steal quality time. So I'm going to go through some things that we deal with, guys. And women, too. I mean, but I'm speaking mainly to the men here. These are the things that rob us of these goals. First one is our job. Okay, we have to work. Our kids need to see us work. That's good. But are you working too much? Are you working overtime to the point, and the thing there is, what's more important? Your standard of living or the shepherding that your family needs? You got to make the decision. You got to accept that role as a father, as a husband, and then how do I provide for them? Not just physically, but in all these other ways that they need. When they leave home and they're 30 years old, what are they going to remember? Are they going to remember that extra large screen TV or the time that you spent together with them, shepherding them? What are you going to remember? I mean, really, what's really going to launch them forward and pass the torch of a godly home? Ministry. And I went to the qualifications for elders and deacons on this one. We see in there the principle for both elders and deacons. And I'm applying this generally to ministry, okay? But it says there that a bishop must, which is the same as an elder, they must, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity, for if a man, which means honesty, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? I see in there a precedence. Okay? First, a man rules well his own house, and then he gets involved in, I would say, ministry in general. That's my interpretation on here as church, but it's church leadership in general. Now, in the same section, we do see other ministry going on. Another qualification is given to hospitality. So another thing that church should be looking at in a man is he currently ministering to people? The way we're given here is through hospitality, okay, in this section. But it is important, and we've talked about it here, and I think it's great. A church, when they ordain a leader in the church, you're looking for somebody who's already doing the work. So that's important. But it is, I see, most important here, for the topic that we're on here, is that when you're looking to get involved in a ministry, how can you do that well if your house is doing well? So consider that. Ministry, and I would say that ministry is something, if you put that in the wrong order, can steal the quality time from your family. Here's another hot potato I thought I'd throw in there. Family size, okay? Now, I'm well acquainted with the Quiverful movement. I know that maybe in this room, I'm not sure, there may be those who just let God decide the size, okay? That's up to you and your conscience. My perspective is that to put it in a little phrase, quality over quantity. If you have, let's just be extreme, 24 children, and have time because of the 24 children, you have time for none of them to shepherd them, have you really populated the kingdom of heaven? Have you really advanced the kingdom of heaven by having a large number of children? Now, on the other hand, we know that children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. We should love children. So to have zero so you can go do your sports all the time, that's not good either. But the consideration that we're talking about He is having time to shepherd the family that you are, that's been given to you. You need to consider, and I think one mistake that families make, and I'm not speaking to anybody particular here, speaking to people outside this group too, that I'm observing, is that, oh great, well, tons of kids. Well, they do not yet have the experience of tons of teenagers. It's a completely different level of involvement at the teenage level. Okay, when you're young, and I was going to touch on this too, the training of young children should be pretty, you know, and this includes corporal punishment, should be pretty just, you know, just get her done. You know, I expect this. I'm going to train your flesh a little bit so you know my expectations. You're not like sitting down and, you know, I don't think this is my wisdom I'm trying to portray here. Don't sit down with a three-year-old and try to explain to them all the intricacies of what they did wrong. Train their flesh, train their soul, and move on. Point is, as they get older, it's going to require a lot more time. Back to our point here, babies are fun. That's great. All kinds of activity, there's new life around, springtime, all that kind of thing. Are you really ready? And can you shepherd? And the point here is that every person is different. Some actually do a good job with a certain number of children. Others wouldn't. I'm a kind of a one thing at a time type of person. For me to shepherd and guide, a larger number would be hard on me, and the quality would drop, and things would fall through the cracks. And so for me, we made this decision a certain way. For others, it's different. I'm just saying you need to think about the aspect of training and shepherding your children when you make that decision. Okay? Welcome to feedback. That's my opinion on it. Some more clear ones, but I still want to get them out there to challenge you. Hobbies. I'm not somebody who really has many hobbies. Are your hobbies the things that are fun? Taking time away from your child, your family. One option here, just include your family. You know, if you enjoy something, include them. I see Corey doing that with fishing. You know, just bring them along. Get them included. I guess one hobby for me would be I like constructing, building things, and, you know, decks and walls and 2x4 things like that. You know, I like doing that kind of thing, and to some degree, I've been successful at including our kids over the years. Well, that's a great, you know, Deuteronomy 6, teach them the law. This is after the Ten Commandments were given, it's spoken to Israel, but still the concept is there. Teach them when you lie down, when you stand up, when you walk in the way, when you sit down, these different areas are given. There's the opportunity. If you have hobbies you enjoy, don't do them by yourself. Some is okay, but again, where are your priorities? I'll mention buddies later. We'll just kind of roll those two together for time's sake. Buddies and hobbies. Are you spending time outside of your family? Too much time, your family's not getting shepherded? You got to make an adjustment. That's not healthy. Junk, okay? The cares of this life, deceitful of riches, choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses, is another verse that we have. Okay, for me, I don't like stuff. I hate maintenance. It just bogs me down. You need to think about that. Do you have junk sitting around that is taking away, sucking your energy? Oh, I'm sorry. Tonight I got to go fix this and that other thing. Can you get rid of it? Can you hire it out? Again, this is if your family's not getting the time they need, you need to make an adjustment here for your family's sake and ultimately for the kingdom of God's sake here. Think about it. Do you have too much junk? Joel and I were talking about this yesterday. It was great. It's like, just don't like stuff sitting around. I still have to get rid of some of it, he said, but it's a burden. So consider the junk you have, let it go. If you don't need it, let it go. Where are your priorities? We talked about buddies. We'll roll that in with hobbies for now. The last one I'll just mention is screens. Screens, for all of us, those of us who are over 40, Don and I are, you know, we remember life without screens, basically. The phone is the main thing, but it's more than just that. We have the internet coming in, and it's so easy. I guess it's kind of like the soap opera of the 80s. You know, you just sit there, turn it on, and you just let it feed you all day and night. You can do that now with the internet. You do some sort of assessment. If you feel like, ask your wife, am I spending too much time on the screen? You know, get that input from your wife. Am I spending too much time on the screen? If that's the case, if you're not convinced of it, get some sort of a timer or a tool or something to show you how much time you're spending. It can really shock you. So those are some thoughts on time and the challenges against it. The last illustration I want to give, and then I'll sit down. I forget, Heather reminded me of it. We heard it somewhere. A professor or something was trying to convey a truth to the class, and he had a container that was clear. You could see it. And he had different sized rocks. Maybe you've heard this before, but different sized rocks, and they got smaller and smaller down to sand, and finally some water at the end. And he put into this vessel the large rocks, then he went down to the smaller rocks, and some pea gravel, and then some sand. And finally he poured the water in, and it all fit in. He asked the group, "What lesson did I just show you?" And the group said, "Well, there's always room for more. Right? You can always pour more." He said, "No, that's not the lesson I was teaching you. What I was showing you was, if you don't put the large things in first, you'll never get them in. Because had he put the sand and the water and all that, you'd be trying to pile this up." So my challenge to you, and I'll sit down, is first of all, men, embrace your role as God-given. Accept it. Let that bring peace to your soul. Okay, if it's from the Lord, you're entrusted with these treasures for a while. Embrace it. This is not all about your reputation. Okay? You are entrusted with these treasures for a while. Embrace it. The second thing is, embrace the fact that it's going to take time to guide this. Most likely, all of us need to make some adjustments in that area. Consider that. Yeah, I love it. Love your feedback. Thank you.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What is the pitfall there? How do we provoke, as fathers, our children to anger? Because I realize there's different ways to do that, but what are some pitfalls from some of you that are more experienced and you understand?
Parallel passage, that's in Ephesians. I think the parallel is in Colossians, I'm not sure, where it says, "Provoke not your children to wrath, lest they be discouraged." There might be a hint in there. Often discouragement, anger, it's been said that anger is from someone not, your rights are being trampled on. So what my mind goes to is children having promises broken. You know, fathers, if you committed things to your children, one example would be a broken promise. You told them you're going to do something, you didn't do it, you didn't follow through. That would be one possible over there. They get discouraged, you know, somehow.
Another one that I heard from someone else who was older and more experienced than me was on this verse, Ephesians 6:4, was by being a hypocrite. There's many ways perhaps to provoke your children to wrath, but one of them is by saying one thing and doing another. The next verse talks about sin severing your heart, so that's kind of a clue to that too. Talking bondservants and masters, but still good application.
Too is providing clear instruction. It's easy as fathers and mothers, I'm sure, to be really anxious about getting something done. And you provide a short instruction that's not clear, and then you're disappointed in your children, which provokes them into anger or wrath. Again, going back to that aspect that you presented, Alan, with the time. It takes time to lead specifically towards the fathers, but it does apply broadly too.
I like how you stress the adjustment. That means that it's never too late to change the course. course of direction if needed. One thing that I've learned is my kids have become teenagers now, and a real way is that your kids aren't you. Think about that, because it's very true. You might have to do some major adjusting when they get into their teens, because all those hobbies or whatever that you took your little kids along with that was so fun when they get older, they don't even like it. So you might have to do some serious adjusting on your hobbies, like what was shared before with Brian. His, if your teenage daughter, son, likes whatever, golf or, you know, whatever it might be, that may have to become a little more interesting to you in order to connect. And I've been learning that as my kids have gotten older.
One thing that came to my mind, I believe you're sharing, Helen, is just, you know, obviously I don't have teenagers that are close, but thinking about the top ones especially that you mentioned on there are good things, right? But too much, you know, balance is really what's key there, is having a biblical balance. I agree with all those things you said. One of the things that just came to my mind was just, if someone is of the persuasion that they messed up, like, for example, someone said, or was thinking, maybe with, even without saying, I messed up on family size, right? I'll just think of that, take an example. Suffering regret for a decision that they made, or thought they made, thinking that they had maybe more control over that situation than they did, I would say my encouragement to that person would be, don't think that way. Think about God's grace as being sufficient, whatever the circumstances that you think you influenced might be, and let God work, because nothing happens by chance, and God can work exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And furthermore, he also, if that promise wasn't enough, he says, with God all things are possible. So I think that there's perhaps sometimes a pitfall that you can fall into where you just put too much trust in, or too much technique into your parenting and not enough faith, if that makes sense. Which, you know, obviously the Lord's given us minds as well to exercise thought in these things. But
something Heather's encouraged me with over the years is, because I there's a lot of things I can't do well, or that I'm not gifted, like with music. I enjoy music, I can do some music, but I'm a bad teacher, in the sense that I'm not good at methodically teaching or conveying things over time. She's encouraged me, okay, let's work with that. Hire somebody else to help with that area. You know, they're under tutors and governors until the time of appointed to a father. You know, so if you find yourself trapped in a situation where you need to create more time, then you can delegate something outside.
Well, this is good stuff. It's a little past noon already, so we got a meal, we got the meeting, and if you, I forgot to tell you about the calendar. I ran out of ink, otherwise I would have had a hard copy, but there is the one on the church calendar is updated in there. So plan on going through more of these type of topics this month. Just thought it'd be helpful in light of where everybody's at. The point of life that we're all in, we're all raising kids, we're all trying to do the right thing, so just some good, I just wanted to have some good practical application type stuff. a little bit here. Not just me, but we thought it would be good. So that's the plan. Anyway, Cal, do you want to pull this in prayer?
Lord, we are your servants. Thank you for the opportunity to live a life that's spirit-filled. Thank you for redeeming us and watching your kingdom unfold. I submit myself to you and want your will to work through me. Thank you for the family you entrust with me. I pray that you give the other husbands and wives here full knowledge of your word, give them wisdom and grace. You face the difficulties, especially in this world we're living in, so many things trying to rob and tear us apart. But thank you for your word that never changes. And your spirit that's here to comfort and guide us. Acknowledge our need for you and thank you for this day. In Christ's name. Mm-hmm.
On the